stuff themselves.
Dodge, hear my cries. Bring the stealth back. Please.
That's good you're saying
it. You're setting yourself up for this. Like, just do it.
I'm glad you're saying it because Dodge is absolutely listening to this podcast.
100%. We know that. We've already verified.
Yeah, after
verified.
So.
Yeah, thank you, Carl Dodge, for listening. I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Welcome to the Third Pedal Podcast. I'm Zach.
And I'm Jacob.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, man, you're facing the wrong way.
Oh, yeah. I just want to show off this new...
I just want to show off this new shirt available at thirdpedalpodcast.com. Go get yours.
We got the Life's Too Short to Drive Boring Cars. We have the regular old hoodie, bunch of hoodies, t-shirts.
Yeah, we got a bunch of cool stuff.
Our favorite one, that this is my garage shirt. It's the only car shirt designed to get dirty and comes with a lifetime warranty.
Dude, I haven't been able to get it dirty yet, and I'm so mad about that.
I was working on my car the other night, and I was bummed how clean it stayed. And so I grabbed the part. like, let's get some battle scars up in here.
Oh, man. All right, I got a video to open the show. Okay. Pull it up real quick. Just way to open the show. Just feel it.
I had the dream last night. That's crazy.
What? For real?
I'm just kidding. No. That is awesome.
Oh, man.
Good way to start. A good Zen place to start everything from. So you'll notice we have a new desk set up here from our norm. We also have an empty chair to your right.
Wonder why.
I wonder who could possibly be joining us.
Azac!
What up?
Dude. We got Tyler back. He
hello.
Taking back a little hiatus from the show, but he is back and he's got stories to tell.
Yeah, lots of them. So,
yeah, dude.
Am I just going?
Well,
we'll get into it.
So last time, as a quick refresher, last time you were on was episode 8. I think we did audio only, and I think 7 or 6.
Oh, yeah.
Was when we did it at your house.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, that was the audio one. It was 8 then.
Yeah.
And it was when you had your BMW.
Yep.
And you were what was the deal?
This was a 335i sedan.
Yes.
Right, that you had.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so this was post-golf, right?
Yes.
That's what was traded for this.
Yeah.
Okay. So then that's where you left us. And there's been a lot of changes since then.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So I got the, I had a 2012 TDI Golf. And then I told my wife, I was like, we should sell this to pay off the loan to just like try to save some money. And then a dude reached out to me with the 335. And it was not a wise trade whatsoever, but I convinced her to make it so much power. Yeah. So I traded for that. Super enjoyed the car, but also felt like I was driving like kind of like a ticking time bomb because it was boosted out of its mind on stock turbos.
Yeah.
And like every time driving it, I was like, I can't floor it because I'm going to blow the car up. So
I remember I drove it the one time.
Yeah,
and I kind of drove it hard. And afterwards,
you're making me so nervous. I was so scared.
Afterwards, I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't. Like, we don't know what this guy did to it.
Yeah, no.
He wasn't a mechanic or whatever. You know.
Yeah, the thing that made me a little nervous was I'm pretty sure he put Loctite on every screw in the engine.
Perfect.
Basically, that to hold might, it together.
That might be good.
No. But like, it was pushing like 22 pounds of PSI on stock turbos.
Nice.
And I'm pretty sure they're rated for like 15 pounds.
Oh, perfect.
PSI. So, So much PSI.
All the PSI.
Yeah. So I basically ended up like parking the car in my garage because it got like 15 miles a gallon using premium, and I was dropping like $80 a week driving it. And the whole point of getting rid of the Golf was to save money.
Like, so, we're going to get rid of the Golf to save money. And you're like,
gosh. All around a bad idea.
Like, but this one has turbos that I can hear.
Yeah. So then I sold the BMW. And bought a really cool, it was a 1999 Audi A6 wagon.
Mm-hmm.
That was an awesome car. Like, I loved the car. It was really clean, only had 125,000 miles on it, which for the year was really low. And this was
the all-wheel drive automatic V6.
Yes.
Non-twin turbo, just the NA, right?
Yeah, it's a 2.8 liter V6, which I thought was like a decent-sized V6, and it's just not. Like,
for a car that anything, big, like... older like that 90s like yes yeah. it's a what is it 2.8 yeah 2.8 yeah. V6 yeah. Like it's fine, but it's probably low 200s, you know, like it's not a lot
exactly
like those engines back then.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I ran into is it was 200 even horsepower
but
in a car that weighed like probably 4,500 pounds almost.
Yeah.
So like the thing just had zero, like it couldn't move. And from going from a car that, I mean, the BMW was almost 500 horsepower and just about 700 foot pounds of torque. So going from that to rear wheels to then just this all wheel drive, like barely 200 horsepower boat was a shock.
Now, that being said, that car was comfy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And it was comfiest car. Clean,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
yeah. So
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Super clean. Comfiest
it's
car
like a
ever
time
driven.
Capsule.
Yeah.
On the interior, it was, well,
it was
well
insane. Like it was more advanced than my like 2013 yeah. Sport Wagon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was nuts.
And mm-hmm. it had all the blue everything. So the blue dash, yep. the blue leather. And yeah. So cool.
Yeah. Rear heated seats, yeah. memory seats. Like it had everything.
Yeah.
But weirdly enough, I kind of hated driving it. Because it was so, I'm used to very small cars. Mm-hmm. Like the E30 was my yeah. first car, and still to this day, my absolute favorite car I've ever driven, just because yeah. it was so small, like tight suspension, tight steering, just felt good to drive.
Yeah.
And then makes from that, sense. I had the 330, and then I went to the Sport Wagon, and the Sport Wagon is still like a pretty small car.
Mm-hmm.
So to go from all these small cars to this just like huge A6 was mm-hmm. just like, it wasn't great. And then also when gas prices shot up, the A6 needed premium and also got like 20 miles a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
Square one.
Yeah, yeah. I literally ran into the same issue where I was like, this thing just costs so much to drive. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. So I put it up for sale. Had an insane amount of people
the coolest
reaching
people
out.
Messaging
oh,
about
yeah.
it, too.
Yeah, like the nicest people I've ever met. This dude from Michigan that I talked to that we talked. I mean, like, we literally messaged and just instantly became, like, best friends. And we're messaging, awesome. like paragraphs to each other just about, like, oh, yeah, dude, this is the project. And he's got, like, the coolest, just, like, just out of the blue. He's just working on, like, every cool car.
Yeah.
Also has, like, every car that, like, we've
yeah,
owned.
Yeah, it was weird.
And is, like, wow. working
it was
on
weird.
Them.
It's, like, our collection.
Maybe a stalker. Maybe just a cool guy.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah. yeah. Mom.
That means we've yeah. made it in the podcast. We
yeah,
got our
right.
first stalker.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then I just had this kid reach out to me out of the blue on like a Thursday night. My wife and I were just watching TV and he's like, hey, I've got this like 02 Golf GLS. Like, would you be interested in a trade? I just replied. I was like, honestly, yes. Super interested. He sent photos. And yeah, he sent photos. Things like crazy clean. So we figured out like a time to go meet up. We met up. Cars like he liked the Audi. I liked the Volkswagen. Awesome. So got it. And it feels awesome. I mean, like it's the 2 liter, just like basic 2 liter four cylinder. It's a 4-speed automatic, which is very weird because then I'm on the highway and I'm like, shift.
But it yeah, yeah. It's like, this is all I have.
Yeah. At 40 and 80, same gear.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, it's real. Yeah. So that part's weird, but it's super fun little car. It feels awesome to be in like a really small chassis again with
yeah.
really tight suspension.
Yeah.
And my literally the thing that makes me the happiest about this car is the fact that it has independent rear suspension. Because the
unsung hero.
Yeah. Yeah. The other Golf had beam suspension in the back and yeah. just like I've got the Sport Wagon
yeah.
and then we had the Golf
yeah
and like you guys remember this
yeah
like driving the Golf was awful compared to the Sport Wagon
yeah.
it felt terrible.
So different
yeah.
It felt like a really really cheap version of what the Sport Wagon
yeah, it
felt
was
like.
Awful mm-hmm. and so weird. Like so now driving this literally the Golf's 10 years older than the other one feels so much nicer.
That's so funny.
Yeah, which is also kind of like sad because I'm like, oh, Volkswagen, like you went backwards.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? They had like all these awesome Golfs
so
coming
funny.
up, and then for 2011 for their TDI, because the TDI for our wagons
yeah.
were their top of the line.
Yeah.
And then for the Golf was the bottom.
Right. So weird.
And
their
I'm like,
yeah, because I guess they had all the other stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Like no power seats, no heated seats, cloth interior. Like
yeah.
it had nothing
yeah.
compared to what the new ones have.
So weird.
So
you got the Golf now. Any plans with it currently? I know. Maybe I
Let's
shouldn't
say
ask
the
that.
Ideal know, plans and then the realistic plans.
Yeah. I think all my ideal plans are realistic.
I don't know, dude. I saw a 2-page build list for your Audi right now.
I mean, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, right now it's mostly cosmetic because I did buy it ultimately to be a gas saver.
Yeah. yeah.
So I just want to do like a new, like a tune up of the engine, just doing like oil change, transmission fluid change, just like coolant and brakes. And then I wanted to do like new spark plugs,
mm-hmm.
do new air filter, just do like all the basic
yeah.
stuff
Get
just
it up
to make
to
sure.
Eight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I ordered, clear side markers, like the European side markers
Boom.
For it. And those came, I just haven't got to install them yet. So I'm super excited about that. I've already, most of the stuff that I want to do is basically purely cosmetic.
Mm.
Cause I've realized for the gas saver, like I don't really want to do a ton of performance stuff. I just kind of want to make it look like a really nice daily driver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I found these cool, like rear tail light, rear tail lights.
Like how you rewinded yourself.
It's like that. Have you seen the video of like the guy? It's like a football player, I think, or whatever he is. He's being interviewed.
Yeah.
And he sneezes like, bless you. Thank you. And then he keeps going.
Yeah. I love it.
Oh, man.
Anyway, sorry.
There you go. So yeah, so it's just rear tail lights that said it wrong again.
Here, I'm gonna edit in my voice for you. Rear tail lights. All
right. Jesus, it's like the next Kennesick thing.
We're gonna need a cut scene of all of the flukes or whatever things we've said wrong.
I'm gonna do that a lot. For some reason, I have a really hard time talking in the morning. It's really bad. Shay will be talking to me and I'll say something. She's like, man, what did you say? I'm like, I don't know.
Dude, no.
Yeah, they'll just mesh together. Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
But yeah, so I found clear taillights for it that I like a lot.
It is.
And then, yep.
Clutch.
And then I just want to do like sport suspension on it, newer rims, and nice. Then some interior stuff to make it look a little prettier.
Yeah,
nice, but yeah, I just want to like make the whole thing just like very clean. Mm-hmm. I don't want to slam it. I say stamp
sounds
it,
like
but then I
slam it.
No. Because I want to lower it, but yeah. I found for some reason this car lower means like basically the body eats half the rim.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, don't want anything like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I just want it to like literally right now there's like a 2-inch gap. I just want it to go down to like 1-inch.
Yeah.
Just make it look like it looks like it's sitting more aggressive.
Pretty good.
So you basically make it more like, I wonder if you could do like a, you did this, I think, in your sport wagon with the Golf R springs, or was that you?
That's me.
That was
him. Yeah.
I wonder if you could do a GTI spring set.
Yeah.
Because those are typically set a little bit lower. Yeah.
Even from a two-door, because those are a little bit lighter. That's like, that was a common thing for golfs, was like to go the two-door instead of the four-door one. And then you get that, because I did a four-door R springs, because my wagon then would sit like perfect on them.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah,
and I still want to do that to my wagon.
Option. Yeah.
Because that looks so good.
That was like the cheapest, coolest thing I did to that car.
Those before you sold it.
You can get it for like $100.
Yeah, oh, really?
Because like everybody who gets a Golf R, it's like with yours too. I mean, it's the same suspension setup that's on your S3 pretty much. But like it's the
I
same.
I wonder if, I don't
hey,
know how
we
long
just
they,
figured that out.
I wonder, I don't know how long they continued like a similar spring. That's a pretty generic component though. Yeah. I wonder if my OEM springs would fit that.
I wonder.
You can have them if they do.
That'd be sick. That'd be a fun video.
Because my wagon would be so confused then. Because I've got a TDI wagon that's got a Type R converted front end and then an S3.
But, that makes more sense.
Yeah,
that
I think
would
it's
fit
different.
Yeah, no, I don't think the Golf. I don't think the Golf. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, because if the Golf R springs fit, I think the Golf R, I know a lot of the stuff is shared between the S3 and the Golf R.
It's like the same, but it's all different.
It's basically just you get the Golf here because you can't get the S3 hatchback here.
Essentially.
That's really it.
Okay, if somebody knows, let us know if those fit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll just have to pull it off and try.
And if anybody's going to be like, here's one free coupon to use Google, we'll do it.
Yeah.
<'Cause> you know.
All right. I think we solved our.
But anyway, it's great to have you back, man. We're pumped that you're going to be back on the show here.
This I'm really excited.
Yeah, this will be fun. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So, you had some stuff you wanted to talk to us about this week.
I did.
You're like, but I don't anymore.
Okay. Something going on in the. Tuning community, most people probably have heard about it at this point. Kind of sad, but I have some highlights or positives, I think, that are going to come out of it.
Okay.
So obviously EPA is consistently cracking down on emission standards, stuff like that.
Yep.
We've been even back like mid last year, not that's that long ago, but when I was going stage two in my S3, I had the hardest time finding a decent downpipe because they're know, all the regulations and stuff. Like the one I got, I had to sign off that it was for track use only. I had to sign a little
waiver.
Which
it is.
Which it is. Yeah. It's never seen the
road. Never seen the road. Ever.
Track use only.
It's when you say, hey, road. Your road? It's like, what's that?
What's the road?
Doesn't know.
Everything's my track. I mean, so, and I talked about, I don't know if it was forever ago, but about trying to find the one from APR.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I called them because I was like, I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get their stage two because I already had their stuff. I got their badges on my car and everything. I don't want to take all that off. But they're like, yeah, we won't sell you a stage two unless you have our downpipe. I'm like, okay, sell me a downpipe. I'm like, well, we don't really sell that anymore. So
cool,
like,
guys.
If you happen to get one and can give us a serial number, we'll sell you a stage two tune. But other than that, we can't get you stage two. So they would go
so
stage
weird.
One.
Oh.
They still do stage three.
Yeah.
Which comes with a downpipe and a big turbo and the high pressure and low pressure fuel pumps and like all that stuff.
It comes with it?
Yeah,
they just won't supply stuff for the stage two.
Right. It's a stage two one. And I think the stage.
You're helping.
I don't
guys.
Know if it's like the spectrum of like for street use and for track use only. I think
the
stage three one is probably like really for track use only kind of stuff. It's like,
but it's like, hey,
what are we doing here?
If the whole point is to like try not to have more people do that, isn't it kind of worse to say, well, you can only get like if we're talking like bad for environment or whatever, or like least bad, medium bad, super bad, and we're like, You could get the medium bad, but we're not going to give you the part. So you either got to go super or light. And you're like, well, I'm already at light, so I guess I go super now.
It probably works out. I'm sure it goes off of number of kits sold because the price differential from stage two to stage three is like, it's like $5,000 difference.
I mean, if it includes the turbo and stuff,
it's a big difference.
That's true.
Makes sense. So anyways, Cobb is one of the big tuning companies, especially for Subaru. I know you got Cobb on yours. They do a lot of Ford stuff. They do a lot of, they do things for everything. Apparently like Raptor kits and stuff too for the turbos. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They do tuning for everything, but then they do
Mazda,
kits for
they're
a lot.
Big for Mazda.
Yeah.
Really?
They even do Audi Volkswagen stuff too. You get like a little axle.
It's huge in the Mark 6 stuff, like the GTIs and stuff. Yeah. A lot of those guys will use it.
That makes sense, I guess.
I don't know for S3s, but at least
they make
GTIs
it for S3 too. Yeah.
They do?
Yeah. Okay. I was like, that'd be kind of weird having like this access part. I'm like, Subaru.
Not anymore.
Right. Like all of a sudden you put that on, and I'm like, oh my. Gauges turn to Gretty gauges and like
car starts vaping.
Like RPF ones on it all of a sudden. Yeah. Yeah. The oil leaking. Start getting Subaru problems. So, anyways, they came out with the Cobb Green Speed, which is a reaction to some new regulations from the EPA. Mm. Basically, what they're doing is pulling most of their off the shelf tunes that don't meet those EPA standards, so they're dumbing down a lot of the tunes. And from if I'm understanding it correctly, even people who have it tuned already, if you need to like do any kind of updates or anything, it's gonna downgrade your tuning software. Down to
it's
the
not like
EPA,
you have the
EPA
file
standards.
And you can use it now. It's just gonna go
away.
It's
not like a, because the access port is like a hooked
if you
up
try
to
modify it.
Kind of thing.
Yeah,
where a regular if you get like an off the shelf tune from most of the tuning companies, you plug it in, you flash your ECU. That's just the way it is until you flash it different. Mm. And the access port, I guess, is... Well, you have to hook that up to internet too, don't you?
No.
You have to plug it in or whatever?
You plug it into your computer. There's computer software for it. Keep in mind, I have the original access port, like the first generation one. So it's
you
like
got like
dot
the
matrix.
Need for Speed like or Fast and Furious. The little gauges and everything
so
on it.
I know from what I've read, though, like the new one. So you plug it into your computer to download the tunes from Cobb's website to bring it in. But I'm sure that program is all connected and everything now, like where it won't let you do certain things.
Right.
I know the big issue that came up was that one of the main things they turned off was there's defeat devices in Cobb tunes for engine lights and things like that. So like on my Subaru, like it shuts off the engine light that would be there because it doesn't have a cat anymore, things like that. So they took that ability
so
away.
For passing emissions and things like that, you can't tune out. Used to say like you tune out the engine light
which
for the
I
O2
didn't
sensor.
Do it. Just some Subarus have them.
Some of those bad Subaru owners. Not me though.
I wonder if and this might be like, I'm just gonna say it.
I love it.
I wonder if because like the IT side of me is thinking of like ways around it. And I wonder if like you use one of those things where you can go to the old version of a website, if you're still able to like trick Cobb and like get the thing and go to like a previous version of
Cobb. It's 2014.
Download just change your date in your computer.
Well, no, there's actual like
Like the Wayback Machine and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's programs that you can actually like go to like a previous version of a website to go to like their previous date, like their versions.
Yeah. I'm assuming they would offload the data from it.
I think it live like it's like it's like the Adobe programs like check to make sure you have a current license every time they turn on. Pretty much.
Oh,
so like I think it's a that. Like it won't let you do anything until it verifies connection with it.
Yeah.
I don't know though. It'd be interesting to see because I know a lot of guys on my Subaru page. They have like the V3 access port. That's like the one that's affected by all this.
Yeah.
And they were saying that like, well, what am I going to, I just bought all the E85 parts for it. Now I can't tune my car for it. I can't plug the thing in. I didn't download it yet or I did. And now like a lot of guys were asking that question. Like, well, what if there's an update or what if there's something else that comes out and I want to flash my car with the stuff I already bought for it.
Yeah.
Like but now it's going to detune it. So I can't even run E85 from them anymore. Like it's really weird. Like they like sold all this stuff and then they're like, can't support it anymore, and then they got rid of it. But
yeah,
I don't know.
I feel like there should be like a refund or something for that, or some sort of compensation.
I mean, I've heard like I don't know if class action stuff would go anywhere, but like I've heard that of like, hey, what can you guys do for me? Because I just bought like a lot of guys, two in particular, I saw had just bought the full E85 everything kit,
well,
like the rails
thousands
and
thousands of dollars. Too,
right?
For all
that stuff. They've got it sitting waiting to install, and then now you can't tune the thing with the company you bought everything from. So now you're, and if you're gonna go custom tune, now you gotta like custom tuned for all your crazy stuff where you could have just tuned off the shelf at least to start and get your car driving. But
yeah,
it's crazy. It just seems so weird. I know there's a lot of things playing into it, probably with APR too. They're so big that now they're a big enough force that the government pays attention to them. So now there's like too much. I
kinda
get
like
it.
We talked about with a couple episodes ago, we talked about like one of the Hennessy trucks.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that one? The Hennessy truck that could wanted to be sold in Finland.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It couldn't go above, wasn't it 60 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So full power, but limited there.
Which is so sad.
So we were talking about like Hennessy, and we talked about Alpina too, not that long ago. So these tuning companies get so big and then they get acquired by like the actual company that are there for tuning. So I feel like APR, Cobb, like these, the big dogs in the industry that have been doing it a very long time and have been like the staple are kind of getting to that point of like, they're so big that they got all eyes on them because they have so much, so many customers and so many sales and all that stuff. Like they actually are affecting stuff with all the stuff that they sell.
Right.
So what I'm excited about is the regression back to like, custom tuners,
DIY tuning
shop, DIY tuning, because that's what it was.
Yeah.
There wasn't like when you were 1999, whatever, and you got like a Civic and you were to toss a turbo on it, you couldn't go to whatever website and just order the full kit, the pre-flashed ECU, the injectors, the fuel pump, like everything as a stage three kit. It's projected to make 400 horsepower. Like that wasn't a thing.
Okay.
You would find the parts, fab the manifolds, like make all the stuff, and then go take it to your tuner. Everybody had like a tuner, right? Yeah.
Or a laptop.
Or a laptop. You could figure out the programming stuff and tune it like to fit your needs. So like there wasn't like I could go to a Euro car show and have like 25 other cars with exactly the same mods, exactly the same output.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like everything is mine. They're not that unique or special that much anymore, right? Because you can just buy the stuff. So, and that just wasn't how it was, like, especially like Fast and Furious one days, you think like pulling up the car shows and of course all the cars looked outrageous, but like everything was like kind of cool, but everything was like custom done, you know,
totally
it was like, this is my actual build. And now like builds are kind of bought.
Right.
Because you just buy it.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Well, it's direct bolt on.
It's all bolt on. Yeah. It's not like a build anymore where you like had to run a custom nitrous setup or you're doing whatever. Like you have engines. So engine swaps are really the only like built, not bought thing now.
Basically.
Like I put a Ferrari engine in my GT86.
You can just buy anything pretty much now.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I'd also say though, like Ryan's Porsche is that's a build.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
That's,
we got to talk about
that's a full disassemble.
Yeah. Oh, totally, totally.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I wasn't saying just, I guess that was maybe a little bit too narrow.
There's definitely
like,
people that do full
but
builds.
That's, 100%. Kind of, I get what you're saying. That's what, like, I would say that is the only thing that kind of more constitutes an actual build nowadays. It's like a swap.
Because there's one of one stuff on your car now. It's not just whatever. You can't just order everything and bolt it all onto it. And then it's a build. You're still, if you're the one doing work on it, whatever. There's gray area in there. But like,
yeah, like FBO wasn't a thing. Like full bolt on wasn't like a class of stuff.
Right.
Back in the day.
Did you just
like,
learn that term?
Yeah,
100%. I just learned that term.
That's cool. I'm
gonna
use that. It's not a term and I just have been saying
that
it.
One.
So anyways, I think there's definitely a green side. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. There's a good side to this.
The grass is greener over
here. Yeah, not actually though, because we're killing it. But
it's actually just a lot of asphalt. But
but it sounds cooler. So I think that's probably going to be where this goes. If, and who knows how far this goes, but if it really gets so regulated where like you can't do anything outside of like just buying the next trim up model of your car to get like cooler stuff and better horsepower and whatever.
Yeah.
Like if that's all the tuning is going to do for you and it still costs as much as it does, like that stuff isn't cheap.
Right.
Like, even those off the shelf tunes are like $700-$800 most of them, maybe even more, a lot of them. So I think it's going to go back to more of like the local tuners and like you go, you do the mods that you do, you source them, you find them, you build them, whatever, and then you put it together, you take it to the tuning shop, they do like the dyno tunes, custom tune setups and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but that's going to be even cooler because of all the tech that we have now, like what, a Honda had two sensors back in the day to tune stuff on, and now my Audi's got like 100 sensors to tune everything on, so the tuners
really
will be more advanced,
fine tune it down into it.
Yeah,
I mean there's even, so I've looked into this, I kind of started dabbling in this and then I tapped the brakes. I was like, I should not do this right now. But with the WRX, because it's got a tune from, I don't know when my father-in-law tuned it, I mean maybe 2006, something like that, 2005, 2006. So like it's an old tune, and if you think about it, so like the reason you tune a car, apart from putting updates on it, like you can do a stage one tune and unlock more horsepower because from the factory, they do a tune across the board. That's a learning tune, but they're trying to like not blow up motors. So then from there,
they're trying to make the most efficient, the most reliable setup that's going to just be the same, perform as well as it can. Yeah.
So then stage one, you purchase that from an APR or from Cobb or whatever. it's an off-the-shelf tune. It's not specialized to your car still. So it's right. still just taking the stock tune and going a little further. Mm-hmm. So like it is pretty common practice right now, at least in the Subaru world. I'm pretty sure it is in the Audi world too, of getting custom tunes for your car. Like that is a normal thing. And there's remote tuners, which is really, I think that part's super cool. Because you can, like when I first got the Subaru and I was sending you guys pictures of like data logs, like it's that you literally will do, like you'll log some pulls on your car and you'll send a graph of certain parameters to them. They'll analyze it. They can create a tune for your car. You'll log some more, send it back, and then they can customize it and everything. So you can essentially do like road dynoing on your car,
right.
and somebody remotely can do it. That's so like so I bought a tune for it, and it was like, I mean, I think it was $70 for like a stage 2+ tune.
Wow.
That's for my turbo. You choose from drop downs because they've had the time to, they've built it for the car and they kind of know.
Yeah.
So I picked it for my turbo, for my intercooler, for everything that I have set up in the car, what it's built at. And then you can choose like, do you want launch control? Sure. All right. Yes. And like add that all in. And then with that, you can flash it onto your own car. Obviously, it's do it your own risk. I think you're going to run into a lot more people blowing up their engines.
Yeah,
maybe
100%.
That's good because like you'll have more people like
it's, be a little more careful. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be, make people more careful, but like also way more like we talked about it on the Cars 101 thing, but like you're way more vested and like confident in your car, like the more little things you do.
Right.
So if you are like I felt awesome when I finally figured out what was causing that weird, like I was getting that weird misfire and then the rich condition randomly. And I finally solved it by looking at logs and working through it and everything. And it felt like just the next level of like, oh, this is sick. Like I understand how these systems work and everything now.
Yeah.
So like it could bring back that cool side of last thing I said, and I guess like right now there was so much in the past, like all this like slammed cars and static cars and all these kind of things. And we talked about like how it's way different than muscle car scene because things have gotten so digital and so computerized that it's inaccessible. It's out there. So like what I can do is lower my car and I can do cosmetic stuff, but like maybe this will start like reeling it back over to like, no, you can, like tuning is something you can figure out. You can get back.
Dude,
into
just
it,
think of like
back over.
The internet now,
right?
Like there's so much access to information that like, back, it seems like maybe
it's the only
I'm wrong
reason
on
I know
timelines.
My stuff.
Yeah. But like the timelines that I'm thinking is like 90s, early 2000s. It was like that tuning era.
Yeah.
That's really when like tuners.
Yeah. The golden
kind of
era
thing.
Of forums.
Yeah. Right. So like there was such a lack of information, lack of like tech and all that stuff. Now there's so, like you're saying, you can probably just plug in a Wi-Fi OBD2 port to your thing and then be on Zoom or whatever with your tuner. And
well,
he's like doing
Mega like Squirt stuff can go on like an iPad as a display. So like you can see stuff there and Twitch
There's
tunes and
so
stuff on it.
Much
crazy.
Different. So I think the like learning curve will be a lot faster
totally.
For people to learn how to do it, for the people who really want to get invested in doing it.
Yeah. If you want to learn it, you can find all the things you need to learn it, which is really cool.
That's really,
really
cool.
So
thank you, Cobb. Thank you, EPA. I think we're going to get into a cool age of tuning, especially with what we have been talking about is like where technology is going, and then also the sweet tech that's coming out.
Right.
Like, dude, the Dodge Hurricane twin turbo straight six might be coming
so
out in
I'm
a world
so excited,
that
dude.
is like off-the-shelf tunes are abolished. Like, it might be coming into that age.
Right.
So it's going to be like a whole world of like people needing to
also, I just need to say this,
stuff themselves.
Dodge, hear my cries. Bring the stealth back. Please.
That's good you're saying
that. You're setting yourself up for this. Like, just do it.
I'm glad you're saying it because Dodge is absolutely listening to this podcast.
100%.
We know that. We've already verified.
Yeah, after we
so.
Yeah, thank you, Carl Dodge, for listening. I don't know. That's what
it sounds right.
Carl,
it's probably. Or Brett.
That's why Dodge.
Yeah. But seriously, just Dodge. Just Dodge. Just seriously, though, like, just you're bringing a twin turbo.
Tyler bothers him a lot.
Inline six, you can compete with the 335. You can compete with the S4, with the S3. You can compete with the M3. You can compete. You can literally take on anything. You can take on the Mustang. You can take on the. You can like break into the Corvette market. Even like, just do it. Like leave the Viper where the Viper is, where it's basically like eating Ferraris
Viper
for fun.
Dead, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think it's been dead for years.
Well, then definitely leave.
I was like, Dodge, bring the Viper back.
Wait, hold on.
Whoa. No, but like the Stealth would be the perfect next step. Like if you're going to get rid of the Viper, just bring the Stealth to replace it.
Well, that's
make
what,
it like that $50,000 car so it competes with Corvette, it competes with Mustang, it competes with the S3, it competes with M4.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think you bring Corvette into it though. I think you out WRX to WRX and you go after like the.
So that's
the,
what. So
you're
talking
about. That's what I'm kind of saying though. Like make it so it can attack that market. Because I kind of don't know. I personally kind of view the Corvette in line with like the Mustang and those things because it's basically
that
like a
burn.
Yeah, sorry. Well, no, but it's like
suck it, jean shorts.
Take your new balances somewhere else.
Well, no, but it's like, you know, because the Corvette can't keep up with the Viper.
That's not debatable. And like the
guy's punching air,
coming in swinging. I don't know. Like it's like not a Viper, but it's better than a Mustang.
Yeah.
And like I think that's where like okay, should I say
it has been their weird mass produced version of a Viper, where it was like a cheap Viper to become. Yeah, I get it.
Where I'm saying basically
Corvette, like it plays in no man's land, kind of between.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think Stealth could finally like tap that market a little bit. That's all I'm trying to say.
So we talked about this when we talked about that motor coming out.
Yeah.
Of like, okay, would it be a step above Charger Challenger?
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be more expensive then, so there'd be less of them.
Yeah.
Or would it be a step below, more like a pony car? If you remember those, like the Dart was like a pony car.
Yeah.
And then the Charger Challenger were like muscle cars. It was like the one right below the Mustang. Nobody really has that these days.
Yeah.
So like it could be one that's just below, kind of like the was the Stealth the version of the 3000 GT that was Dodge?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So something like that. So that would... price point wise, so say it's in like the 30s, 40s,
that would
if you could get it at high 30s, it'd be there, because that'd be right with WRX, that'd be right with Corolla, that'd be right with 400.
It would compete against, like, we're talking GTRs.
Yeah
if it's a got the power capability, that's a twin turbo V6 all-wheel drive with, I'm sure they could do their Dodge dual clutch, but they could also do the manual. Like, it could have so many
which
options.
I'd be okay with either, honestly. I personally would be like, hey, please put the 6-speed in, but like, if they're not going to complain if there's a dual clutch in it, like that would be insane.
Right. Yeah, if they just had the options for it, which it seems like there's definitely more market for that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Seeing like the 400Z brought back, seeing the Super brought back,
right?
Seeing like these other cars that are being reimagined, killing the SDI.
Right.
That doesn't really fit, but like these other things that are coming back, like.
Yeah.
The car enthusiast people who like grew up in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, who like
all our cars are coming back.
Like the Fast and Furious generation now has adult money.
Yeah. Right.
And like is like changing the market on that stuff that's available.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that could be a possibility. Dodge.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Well, like, plus, like, they killed the Dart. Have you heard they're bringing the, forget the name.
Neon?
It was like the
Caliber.
It looks like a Caliber. I thought they called it the Hurricane, but that's the name of the engine. Maybe it was something else.
Oh, the Hornet. They're bringing back.
Yeah, they're bringing a little hatch thing kind of back. It looks like an Alfa Romeo, pretty much.
Yeah, it's based off the Alfa Romeo. It's actually their first plug-in EV.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Because they,
the Hornet,
they talked about putting this engine in that, too. Which would
really?
Be
also,
insane.
Not complaining about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yeah.
It's like a compact SUV
that
they're planning to bring. I have that to talk about. I think, I don't know, probably another time.
Yeah, I pasted that in some of our notes, too. So
it would just be so cool, though. Yeah. You have the Stealth, and then you could have like the Stealth RT.
Oh, yeah.
And also, like, just floating it out there, the Stealth could be like that twin turbo inline six, but like just for all of us, put a Hellcat engine in like a new Stealth,
dude. To have the Stealth
all wheel
drive.
I think
the Hellcat's going away though. I don't think that drivetrain's done, because that was what the dude commented on our thing. We have a Hellcat story to talk about with you too. Maybe we'll do that next week.
Oh, yeah,
next week. Yeah,
but they had said that this is kind of their last ditch effort to like, let's see if we can make a gasoline engine. Like, I mean, some dude commented who said he was affiliated, but he probably wasn't, so don't fire him. But the
his name is Devin, he lives in Idaho, he works for Dodge.
but he had said this is kind of their thing to like, let's try and see if we can have one last hurrah for the gasoline engine before things go off the deep end.
That straight six is not just like as cool as it is, and the power figures look really good, the high output and the standard output.
Yeah.
It's meant for like SUVs, trucks, and like it's basically replacing
their
all V6.
Yeah, it's replacing the Hemi too. Like it's supposed to be somewhere
in the 5.7. Yeah,
so it'll be like a high output and a low output. So it'll replace the V6s and the regular 5.7.
Well, dude, a Hemi puts out like 375, and this one puts out over 400 on the standard output.
Right,
and over 500 on the high output.
I know, it just feels weird to say like, oh, I've got a Dodge Ram that's got a twin turbo inline six.
Oh yeah, I got passed by a Challenger who's going pretty hard yesterday, and it was just sounded adorable because it was just like a V6 going by. It sounded like a riced out 350. I'm like, what is happening right now? the other thing that we had talked about last time, which I'm curious what you would think, what if they brought back, so instead of the Stealth, because the Stealth was so associated with just that two-door tiny little like coupe thing, what if they brought back this engine inside a Stratus? Like you've got the long hood, you've got the coupe, you've got like the longer sedan type vehicle. It's kind of more considerable.
Stratus,
to, like,
they made a coupe and sedan, right?
See, I think
they did.
Okay,
so they
could do both.
I think the only thing I'd have to say to that is the Stratus forever in my mind is ugly. Like it's not. I'm sorry.
I love that's the reason.
And that's like, gonna be a short.
Josh is like, right. Tyler thinks it's ugly. Don't bring it back.
He's well, like, no, they're like, I'll talk to Strat.
Not the Strat. Yeah, the well, no, because are watching this.
Because like the logic on this is they brought back the Charger, but they made it four door. But everyone just accepts that it's the Charger.
Yeah.
So they could do that with the Stealth too. There's no reason they couldn't.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
And also the Stealth sounds way nicer than a Stratus. And they also they disgraced the Dart name. So
yeah,
like.
True. True.
Like, let's just like, I want them to do the right thing, which is bring the Stealth back, call it a Stealth, and make it like a small, like all-wheel drive, just little monster.
What if it kind of looked like the Alpha, the little Alpha?
That's what I'm saying.
So they could base it off of that. Yeah,
it could totally. Be that, but more dodgy looking.
Yeah.
Like that'd be pretty cool.
So it's the sharp lights and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, sharp lights, but that size, it's like a compact.
That's all they're doing with the Hornet.
Yeah.
Well, we'll look at pictures of that in another episode.
I think it would also be super cool if they also brought back the so horrendous looking little spoiler on the back, but that was actually like placed in the right place.
Yes.
Remember the one that's like right next to the window?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it'd be so cool if they
it kind of looked like the Jesko.
Yeah.
Right? That one has a spoiler that's placed kind of funky.
Yeah, it's kind of faced forward. It would almost look like the, you know, the Kazi, like the Ford Escort Kazi that has like the spoiler right in the middle of the window on the back.
Yeah.
Like the whole build thing. Yeah, yeah. Kind of look like
that. Yeah, they brought something like that.
I'm sure they could style spoiler thing up there. That'd be sick.
That'd be awesome. Got good styling.
You could have
sure
it come off
it.
Of the top, whatever that's called, top of the car. Like come off the top and loop around and have the thing on the back. And
that could be kind of sweet.
They could have fun with it.
Yeah.
But
where are we at for time? Do we have time for us to make it or break it?
I don't know where to look. Bottom left. I think we do.
Oh, we're at 38 minutes.
Boom. Let's do some make it or break it.
Real quick.
All right. Okay, so Tyler, since you've been on the podcast, I mean, you know, but you've watched it. But in case you haven't.
Biggest fan.
Biggest fan. So we have this segment on here called Make It or Break It. For those who are new. Where we watch people either make it or break it in their car. That is it. Let's get started.
Most of the time, it's break
it. It's pretty heavy bias
so
towards break.
So whoever brings the video, if you guys send it to us, one of us will kind of preview it and then decide where we fit it in. But basically, we play a part of the video, we pause it, we have to guess if it's make it or break it. So if it's like a win or if something bad's going to happen. And
we always hope for the bad.
It's more fun.
All right. So
content.
All right. I jacked up the electronic stuff of this, but we're just going to make it work.
That's
so it'll
good.
Be fine.
We can watch it.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So where do we want to start? I think I want to show this one because I was shocked by where it went. All right. You guys ready?
Ready for this.
How am I going to do this?
I actually get a lot of people in my DMs, huh?
This is a 240. I get a lot of people in my DMs, and they always ask me about my dash. It's actually
what? That is sick, dude.
I love that so much. That looks so good.
I love seeing like full digital dashes, like modern digital
so
dashes
cool.
in
yeah.
old cars. Okay, so how is this going
to
be?
And
break
it looks
it?
So cool. Because
I'm trying to figure out how this
might
gonna go
might not
wrong.
Be.
Okay.
What do you think? What's going to happen? Lay it out for us.
I'm gonna start on a high note and say make it.
Yeah, me too. I think it's gonna be a sick dash.
It looks too good.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
It's on a 240.
Is this a rear engine 240?
In my DMs, and they always ask me about my dash. It's actually really cool. One of the coolest parts about it, actually, I'll show you guys right now.
Nice.
All
right. I don't know what happened, but it made me laugh really hard.
That's great.
Just
nothing better than a quick jump scare.
Yes. Okay.
That's awesome.
Got another one here to show you. You guys ready?
Yeah.
I don't know how to make a video with this. I really don't. The car started.
Break it.
Yeah. I mean,
something's gonna blow.
Have you guys seen this yet?
No.
Okay. It's. I think it's a break it.
So the car started and.
Yeah, we're just gonna play right through it. Where my video go.
I heard a pop and that was off and I went, oh man, I must have not put the spark plug in. It didn't have a spark plug in it. Put another spark plug in, it started, works fine.
Oh my goodness.
Dude
that's
good
actually
thing.
A win.
And that's scary.
That's
right?
a
make
made
it
for sure. That's
bring
insane.
This is Carson's
just blow darted the
thing up. I'm happy no one he didn't have like a buddy being out there like, okay, crank it.
It's like, Greg,
I don't know why it's not starting. It's just
it's like, Greg, you okay?
All right, I'll show one more and then I know you had a couple that you brought in here.
Greg
I'll do one more and then you do one more.
Greg
I'm
is
just
known as Sparky now.
Oh my
my gosh. Man.
All right, what else?
All right, so this is just a straight up meme, but I thought it was wonderful. Speaking of your APR badges.
Howdy, A3 owners. B6 super epic badges. Yep. Oh, dude. All
right, that's what I got. You got something to show us? Right, Do you want to show one of yours?
All right, so we talked in a previous episode about, we did like our beginner's episode. Beginner's episode for you guys, like just getting started. How do I get started into cars? I have somewhat not to do's on some of the things we talked about. Oil changes was one of the big ones. So I guess this isn't really a make it or break it necessarily, but just kind of a what not to do while doing this one happens to be changing oil. So we talked about, you know, trying to get the plug out and pull it out before getting oil on your hand, right? So what we didn't talk about was the importance of a proper catch can.
Oh boy.
Oh. Oh
my gosh.
Just straight to the floor and you hear a plop on the floor.
We've all had that moment.
Oh,
though,
for
like,
sure.
Bink. It's like, ah,
well,
we're short.
You don't know when it's like pointed sideways. Like, yeah. I wish most of them were straight up and down, but most of them are like on the back. Yeah. Like that is the oil pan. So you pull it out. Oh, you're not sure exactly the trajectory or the velocity of that oil coming out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right,
it
I
just
have
goes.
One more to show. This is one I saw this morning. I forgot about it. We'll do this, then we'll close out the episode. All right. So this was, I guess, on the first car project thing that we had talked about. The premise of this video is like, car projects always cost a lot more than what they should. So this guy finally, I haven't seen anybody break it down the way that this guy does before. So I think it's great. We're just going to watch it through. It's not really a make it or break it.
Okay, so today, Professor Marlin and I are going to show you how this little part can cost you over $700 using math. So let's get going. All right, so first things first, you're going to have the cost of the part itself, I, which is the initial cost of the part. Then you're going to add any miscellaneous expenses, represented by M. But M is actually composed of three different components. So you're going to put a bracket here, and you're going to have D, which is things you didn't plan on, such as things breaking as you're taking it apart. Next, you're going to add in U, which is unnecessary expenditures like cool upgrade parts like a coil radiator and things while you're in there. And then lastly,
while you're in there, you're gonna add in
another M, which is things you might as well do while you're in there. Then you're gonna use your order of operations, and that's gonna give you your total budget. So once you add everything together, you're gonna figure out
I did not see that coming at all.
I was so into it. I watched that while I was making my coffee this morning, and I was like watching it now. I'm like, I'm probably just dumb. They probably see this coming.
No, not at all. That is hilarious. I did not see that coming whatsoever. Wow.
I want to reach out to that guy. We should see if we can make a shirt that says that.
That just says I'm dumb.
All the
That'd be so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shouldn't have said that. I'll cut that out. That'll be a surprise. Anyway, that's what we got for you guys this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome back, Tyler.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. We'll catch you guys next time.
Peace.
Adios.